Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I'm Zan Morgan, and I am honored to welcome you all here to worship this morning, to those of you in the space and those of you that are worshiping online. We hope that you each find a sense of belonging here this morning. Pastor Laura is wrapping up her time away and will be back in the office later this week. And so we have a guest preacher today, and it's my treat to introduce him. He's my dad. So this is Rick Stravers. You can read a little bit about him in the bulletin. I feel grateful for the ways he introduced me to God's love. So I'm glad you're here. After worship, we'll be going outside for lemonade on the lawn. Fancy way to say lemonade on the parking lot. We'll be playing and hanging out there. I hope that you will join us after worship just outside the Washington Street doors. In your bulletin, you'll find some important information about our outward-focused work this summer. You'll be familiar with the work. We have been partnering with Community Action Network to have backpacks and school supplies ready for the fall. So we're doing that now. You can see really clear instructions about how to show up for that work in the bulletin, thanks to Sue Ellen. You'll also see information about Habitat for Humanity. We always participate in 2 work days in the summer. We have 1 more in the month of August. And we're also raising funds to support that good work. So would you check out the information there from Scott Deals? We're grateful for his leadership in that. You'll also see that next weekend is Ann Arbor Pride on Saturday, and we are going to have a First Baptist table. We have 3 members from our outreach board who have been putting that together, and Pride is from noon till 9 p.m., so lots of great time to stop by and see us. We will share on our social media where we're going to be. We don't know that yet, but once we hear from the Pride organizers where our table will be, we'll make sure to share that with you so you can come find us. There is a sign up online where we have all our sign ups, where if you'd like to come and help host the table, you can sign up to do that. As the cool breeze ushers in the evenings, and as the sun rises in the morning, God is present with us. Let us worship God together.
Thank you. I invite you to stand, in body or spirit, for our opening prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, we come before you this morning at the threshold of a new beginning for our church. As we step forward into this new chapter, we ask that you wrap us in your perfect peace, a peace that surpasses all human understanding, especially during these troubled and uncertain times. Quiet the anxiety in our minds this morning. Calm our racing hearts and silence the overwhelming noise of the world around us, that we may worship more fully. Shield us with your grace, ground us in your love, and give us courage, fully trusting that you are already holding our future in your merciful hands. We ask this in the loving name of Jesus, our Lord and Christ. Amen. Join me in the responsive psalm this morning. Your decrees are wonderful, therefore I obey them with all my heart. When your word goes forth, it gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant. I long for your commandments. Turn in me in mercy, as you always do to those who love your name. Steady my footsteps in your word. Let no iniquity have dominion over me. Rescue me from those who oppress me, and I will keep your commandments. Let your countenance shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes.
Heard about parables. We were talking about them just a couple weeks ago. Parables are stories that Jesus tells that he invites us to use our imaginations. They're these stories that don't always seem to make sense right away, but we start to ask some questions about them. So I've got some questions in here for us. I wonder what's a question in here. Oh, here might be a way we ask a question about a parable. This question says, I wonder what the most important part is. Do you think there's only one right answer to that? No, I bet we all might have different ideas about that. Okay, so there's a wondering question. Let's see if I can find another wondering, because we're trying to get our brains thinking and our hearts thinking. Ooh, what does this one say, Finnegan?
I wonder what it feels like
in that story. The people in that story, I wonder maybe what it feels like. Okay. Let's see what else we have. Oh, would you read that one, Emma?
I wonder where you
might
be in the story.
I wonder where you might be in the story. That invites us to think about the story and engage with the story, do some wondering. Let's see. Let's see another one. I wonder if you have ever come close to a place like this. Wow, so there's all of these questions you might ask that don't say, what's the right answer? Or what am I supposed to think about this? But instead, when we hear parables, we're invited to wonder, to use our imagination. So, these don't have any words on them at all. Can you think of a question you might ask? What's a wondering question we might ask besides the ones we've already heard that can help us think with our imaginations? What do you think, Amelia? I wonder where you are. I wonder where God is. Emma, what are you thinking?
I wonder why they did this.
I wonder why someone did this. I wonder why they did this. Or I wonder why they didn't do this. We could also maybe ask both of those questions. So you're thinking about why something happened. Yeah, so when we hear these Bible stories, like there's this one about the mustard seed, it's so teeny. And this story is about what the kingdom of God is like. What does it look like when we live the way God wants us to live? It's like a seed that gets planted and grows into a great big bush. And then the birds of the air come and make their home there. The birds come and make a home in this big bush. And I wonder if the birds have names. What do you think? Bob. Yeah, what do you think?
Bill.
What do you think?
Percy.
Yeah, so maybe these birds do have names. And we might also ask, I wonder what it is that makes a bird want to build a nest there. I wonder why. That's like Emma's question. Why did the birds want to do that? What made it a good place? So, your job, when you hear parables, is to always be thinking about these wondering questions. I wonder why. I wonder what it feels like. I wonder what it sounded like. I wonder if I'm in this story somewhere. Let's always wonder together. Okay, let's do it. Okay, will you pray with me? Will you repeat after me? Dear God, we thank you for Jesus and his parables. Help us always be wanderers. Amen. All right, let's head out to children's ministry together. I have the honor and privilege of thinking about the scripture each week and thinking about how it connects with the kids. And I also get to pray today, prayers of the people. And I've been thinking about this kingdom of God. What does it look like to be the beloved community? And how are we doing at it? And what prayer words we might offer? And I kept feeling like all I wanted to do was grunt or sigh. And I found it hard to come up with words. So in our prayer today, there's going to be space for you all to offer some words. What's on your heart and mind? There'll be two parts. One part where we think about the ways where we are not living like the beloved community, and then a time to name the things that are new, that are empowering, that are good. So you'll hear those two parts in the prayer today, and so that it's not me just sighing up here, I invite you to add words to the prayer this morning. Well, let's pray together. Loving God, this morning and every morning, we long for a new way of being together. A way that looks like and sounds like the one Jesus describes. And so we begin this time of prayer by naming that which misses the mark, that which breaks our hearts, that leaves people without, that destroys the earth. In the calm of this space, we gather and name all that harms, that tears down, and that divides. We have this space now. Children dying in war. Constant othering of others, our neighbors. The attack of Lon Hartman. Cancer. The wildfires. We name these in your loving presence, God, and in this calm space, we also gather and name all that builds up, all that nurtures, all that empowers and creates anew. So now we name those things together and with you. Teenagers taking the lead. Sewing classes here at church. Community organizers imagining a new way. The joy of pride.
Younger people in political office. Leadership that seeks the future, not the past.
Pastor Laura. In the calm of this space, we pray that your kingdom comes, and we take seriously the work of being your partners, seeking ways to be your beloved community. And we lift up now those who are close to us that we know to pray for by name. We pray for Noreen Walcott, for Donna Tipton, for Grange Burnside, and for Pidgey Caroli. God, we pray for your continued healing for Kathy Mortensen, for Judy Burton, for John Vandervliet, Mary Margaret Hatt, Erica Deals, Marilyn McKenzie, Keith Pickleman, Marlene Francis. And we pray for Roberta Hawes and Mervyn Eucharts and Esther Floyd, for Marilyn Marsh, Helga Mortensen, Cindy Okarski, Greg Dubois, Keith Maurer, Beth Granberry, Emily Johnson, and Martin Bridgman. We lift to you all our hearts, knowing that you have had them all along. And now, as Jesus taught us to ask for it, to seek it, and to be it, we pray together that God's kingdom comes, that it is here on earth. We pray together now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I invite you to stand in body or spirit for the reading of our gospel. The reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 through 34, and then 44 through 46. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. Jesus told the crowds all these things in parables. Without a parable, he told them nothing. Then 44 through 46, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and reburied. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me for a moment. We thank you, God, for the teaching of Jesus. We ask you to speak to each one of us gathered here together today that we may hear the word of encouragement or hope or peace or love that we need. We pray for each one of us here, everyone gathered with each of us. We ask for your blessing on us now in Christ's name. Amen. Good morning, people of First Baptist Church. I'm delighted to be with you. I have been here as a worshiper quite a few times over the years that Zan and her family have been here, and I've heard a lot of good sermons in this place, and I'm glad to be able to share with you in worship this morning and be Zan's partner in leading worship, which is not something we've done for a long, long time. So this morning, you and I have the opportunity to listen to some teachings from Jesus. They're not very doctrinal. People have gathered to listen to Jesus for a long time now. People like us. People who are different from each other in many ways, and yet who are somehow drawn together to the opportunity to hear from Jesus, which is a great opportunity, after all. So I'm delighted to join you in that today, and I've been kind of anticipating our listening together. I started trying to listen to these parables early last week, and I've been listening to them pretty attentively. Jesus tells this series of short stories. It might make you want to say, well, what's the transaction here? It helps me see how all of our life is based on transactions, but he's not actually going there. He's inviting us to explore what heaven is like. That's an interesting approach. I think of that as, what is it like when life aligns with the love of God? Maybe we have curiosity about that, like Jesus did. And we ask with him, yeah, what is it like when things align with God's love? In Christian history, often, when the question of heaven comes up, the curiosity seems to be about somewhat different things. Sometimes the common approaches to the idea of heaven, I think, circle around questions like this. Maybe you'll recognize them. Who gets to go there is the first one, often. And the second and related one is, how do I get in? Which, if we come to these parables with those two questions, Jesus is not going to satisfy us this morning. Which I find interesting, frankly, and delightful. He takes a different approach. Instead of focusing on how we get into heaven or who gets to go there and under what conditions, we need to put all that to the side. What he invites us to do is imagine the heart of heaven. So he says, let me tell you some stories about what the kingdom of heaven is like. That's what he says over and over again. The kingdom of heaven is like a seed. The life and love of God is like a seed nestled in the ground, covered with earth. And while this seed is hidden in the dirt, in the darkness, it germinates and sprouts. And a little stem comes up above the surface of the ground, and the stem grows somehow into a bush, or into a trunk of a tree, and branches from this stem spread out into the air. And birds come and land on the branches, and they rest there, and they sing there. And they make their nests, their homes, there. That's what heaven is like, Jesus says. That's what the life and love of God are like. Can you picture it? Can you see it? I want to see it. Then another time Jesus says, let me tell you a story. Now these people had all kinds of life problems, challenges, who knows what was bothering them as they sat there. And he says, the life and love of God is like a woman making bread. She's at the baking oven in the center of the village. She has some sourdough starter That's one of the results of my research this week. It's likely it wasn't yeast in a little Fleischmann's package. It was actually a sourdough starter that had been fermenting for a while. So she takes this, the kingdom of heaven is like a woman who takes this sourdough starter and mixes it in with that dry, powdery flour. So mixing in that yeasty, sticky, fermenting starter into the flour. And then she kneads it. I actually watched a YouTube video for how to make sourdough bread. I never did any of that, but so it was a nice picture of pulling the dough and shaping it and stretching it. And then she lets the loaf rest. And while it rests, there's something going on. You can't actually see it changing, but if you look at it once and come back a little later, you can notice it's changed. The moist, moist dough is slowly expanding and rising. It's breathing in a way. And when the dough has risen, she puts it in the village oven. And before long, there's a wonderful aroma in the air. And when it's time, a little later, she slides a beautiful brown loaf of crusty bread out of the oven and places it on a table. And then she gives you a knife and says, nods at you with a smile and says, go ahead and have a piece. And if you hesitate, she laughs and she says, go ahead, try it. And maybe you cut a slice off or you break a piece off of that fresh, warm bread and you take a bite. And you remember when your grandma used to make bread and the crust crunches between your teeth. And you get to enjoy this wonderful taste and feel of freshly baked bread. And maybe you felt a little hungry before, but now you feel delighted. Your attention has moved from a hungry stomach to a delighted mouth. And satisfied in some way. And Jesus says, my friends, heaven, the life and love of God, is like that woman and the sourdough bread. Can you smell it? Can you taste it? And then again, Jesus says to a group of people like us, do you have time for a story? They're always short stories. Have you ever wondered about heaven, he says? About a time and place where everything aligns with the love of God? He may not have put these all together in one talk, right? They might have been different conversations. Well, this time and place where everything aligns with the love of God is like you're walking in a field and you're looking carefully at everything you see. You're paying attention to the bee balm and the rosy-colored milkweed and the purple coneflowers shining in the light. And young rabbits are chewing the grass and fresh cattails are growing at the edge of the pond. And as you look around this beautiful field, you're surprised to discover treasure that's been hidden there a long time in the field. Hidden a very long time. How long has the treasure been there? We don't know. Has it always been there? We don't know. How did it get there? We don't know. But when we find the treasure, we empty our bank accounts and our pockets, if we still carry money in our pockets, to buy this field where the treasure is hidden. Jesus says, the field of the love of God is like a field with hidden treasure. Are you aware of the treasure? Allow yourself to become aware of the treasure. It's satisfying to wonder what heaven is like with these kinds of questions and images, I think. It's satisfying to imagine what it's like whenever the kingdom of God comes. One more time, Jesus tells a story and says again, the kingdom of heaven is like, and I've planted it in our world a little bit. The kingdom of heaven is like you're on the shore of Lake Michigan. I realize I'm in the east side here, but I'm a west side guy. So I think of Lake Michigan. For us, Lake Michigan is sort of the center of the universe. So you have to bear with me here. Heaven is like you're on the shore of Lake Michigan looking for a Petoskey stone in the sand beside the cold, clear water of the lake. And suddenly you stop in surprise. All your life you've been sort of paying attention. Is there a Petoskey stone around here? But suddenly, just inches from your bare foot where the waves wash up, there's a stone, a beautiful Petoskey stone. You can hardly believe your eyes. You've walked this beach hundreds of times and didn't see it. But today you discover this gorgeous stone. And you pick it up and it's all wet with lake water, so it shines and you can see the Petoskey markings easily. And you cradle that wet stone in the palm of your hand, and the people on the beach are watching you and they see you smiling. You're enjoying the beauty of your lucky find. And you feel like you've been looking for a stone like this for your whole life. And here it is. Right here on the beach beside your wet feet. And Jesus says, the heaven of the love of God is just like that. Just like that. So I wonder, how might receiving these stories shape our hearts and minds? How could these stories influence our lives? If we tuck these stories into the soft earth of our hearts, if we let them rise and bake in the warm oven of our minds, I wonder what treasure we might find. I wonder what we'll learn. I wonder how it might free us from the cycles we feel trapped in. What if we tuck these stories into our hearts, somehow this week hang out with them a bit, and see what we discover? That's what I wanted to share with you today. Amen.
I wonder where you are in the story. As you reflect, we invite you to also respond, seeking with grateful and generous hearts. Let us give together now. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, is close at hand. So may our eyes be open to see the kingdom among us, and may our hands be open to share its peace. The peace of Christ be with you.
The love of God, the Creator, is a seed planted in your heart. The energy of the risen Christ is a yeasty present that has been activated in your life. The guidance and comfort of the Holy Spirit of God is a treasure hidden in the field of your life experiences and circumstances. So, people of First Baptist Church and guests and visitors, I feel quite confident when I say to you that the goodness of God is upon you today and will remain upon you always, forever. Amen.